Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, security will be tight at Katie Taylor's big fight at the weekend amid, according to the organisers, the very real threat. We'll talk to Nicola Tallant. John and Frances Brennan tell us why they've decided to sell the Park Hotel in Kenmare after four decades. Adam Maguire has been finding out why items like shampoo, deodorant and other personal care products are so expensive. Intrigue from the art world. Jessica Fahey tells us about the famous and hugely valuable works of art that have either gone missing or been stolen over the years, and the female artists who are only now being recognised for their talent. We rely on batteries to power our phones and run our cars, but what will they be capable of doing in the future? Physicist Shane Bergen explains. Our text number is 51551. You can also email todaycb@rte.ie. First today, a meeting is taking place this morning in Clare involving public representatives in the county and the Minister for Integration, Roderick O'Gorman, to discuss the local opposition to the arrival of a group of asylum seekers at a building in Inch. Now, as it stands, a blockade which was set up on Monday night outside the McGowna House property remains in place, and our reporter John Cook is back there this morning for us. Good morning, John. So what's happening?
Good morning, Claire. Well, McGowna House in Inch is a much calmer place today, though the bollards and signs saying local access only remain blocking the winding byroad from the Ennis to Kilmaley route. It remains in place there. Locals insist no resolution has been found despite talks with management and local politicians last evening, so their peaceful protest continues. Some of the men seeking asylum who left the premises on foot yesterday telling me they were headed back to the City West Hotel, 231 kilometres away, have returned. Others continued on that journey to Dublin, I'm told. And management here told me this morning that 21 men slept in the three holiday homes beside the hotel last night. They expect others to come back, so they weren't clear on exact numbers, and those figures are not confirmed. This morning, the men are due to be taken by a bus. The bus has just arrived, indeed, to the local Intrio office in the town of Ennis, 8 kilometres away, where they can access local Department of Social Protection services. Some of the men are coming out to board the bus now as I speak to you. And as they were walking across in the last while after their breakfast at the hotel building across from their houses where they slept, one asylum seeker who asked not to give his name or nationality told me about conditions here last night.
It was okay, it's fine, nothing happened last night. Everything quiet for last night, yeah.
Some men left yesterday, but you believe that more than 20 are still here?
Yeah, I think so. I think there is more than 20 here. Not everyone left.
You decided to stay?
I decided to stay, yes. Because where I should go, they're not going to let us sleep in City West. And if I left, I'm going to lose this place, so where I should go?
You'd know where else to go, I understand.
Exactly, and there is already many people sleeping in the street in Dublin. That's what I hear. We don't know nothing here. We don't have news.
And can I ask, how are the houses that you're staying in? There was as many as 11 people in some of these houses.
It's not so good, but we can survive for now. If they do more service and they give us more like a clean stuff and more hot water, and you know, the normal stuff, the basic stuff to live. So we can deal. Kitchen maybe to cook something. Some guys like to cook, you know. We're going to do our own things if you give me the material.
But you get food here at the hotel.
Yeah,
is that okay?
We get food.
And how many people sleep in each room?
It's difficult, like five and three every room. Like okay. The big rooms, it's five, not small rooms.
Does everybody have a bed?
Yeah, everybody have a bed, yeah.
Is it like a bunk bed or just a mattress on the floor? Or?
No, it's a bed.
What do you think of this place? It's quiet. I know you tried to find the town nearby. Would you be happy to stay here?
Yeah, happy. Lovely place. Yeah.
And do you think you could live here, that it could work out?
Maybe if we meet the local people, yeah, we can live for sure. Because I meet some nice people in the road when I try to leave. And they let me come back. And they apologize for everything is happening. That's the local Irish people. And they even give us a suite. And they said, we're going to try to get the transport for you and everything. And they let us to come down and say, everything it will be all right.
They were the Clare Immigrant Support Workers.
Yes,
yeah, I met them.
Thank you so much.
So you are getting to know some of the people, even the protesters, and you feel things could work out here. There's a meeting this morning of politicians to decide what happens next, a government meeting. What do you hope? Do you hope it will work out that you can stay here?
Yeah, I hope so. Why not? Where else we can go? Many people sleep in the street. Like, we must, like, appreciate what they give us here. Even if it's that far, yeah, we know it's far and nothing is here. But let's work out, like, all together. Let's help each other, you know? Mm-hmm. We must come down and wait and have some passion. And they must work out for us, the government, for sure. Not the local people, like. They're not their mistake because they said they don't know we coming here. And one time now you put 50 guys here, so... That's a shock for them. So we sorry for them.
So you understand their protests, you hope the government can sort it out?
Yeah, of course I understand. But even if I'm staying now and you bring me a 50 guy from a different country, I don't know them. Mm-hmm. I don't know their culture. I don't know their language. Mm-hmm. And they're just going to move on in my town. Uh-huh. So what is that? You know? I think if we can meet with the local people, that's much better from the government.
Okay.
So we know each other. They're going to know we are decent people. So.
Okay. So maybe the government can help with that.
Yeah, I hope so.
Okay, so that's one of the men, John, who you met this morning. And what are the local people saying about that meeting with the minister, Roderick O'Gorman?
Well, many I met this morning are talking about that meeting. It's due to be held online, we understand, between Minister Roderick O'Gorman and his department officials and local TDs and senators from Clare in the next hour. But what will emerge from that meeting may not be what locals here are seeking, as some would like the minister and his officials to engage directly with them, possibly on assurances that no more asylum-seeking men would be sent here. The total number planned for the site originally was 69. What number locals will be willing to accept is unclear, and they say it depends on resources or services that could be offered to support the community, they told me, as neighbours came to relieve those who'd manned the blocked roads overnight. Some of the men and women leaving their shifts to go to work or to sleep after manning the roads overnight, as local resident Rory Killeen explains to me.
We have kind of a united front that we need to get a suitable resolution to this, and the only way we're going to get it is to continue the protest. It's been reported it's a blockade. It's not really a blockade.
Well, you're still blocking the road, so I suppose that is a blockade.
Well, we're trying to keep it a local protest. There's a lot of people trying to get involved here now that have no local connections, and we feel it might not the best thing for the protest. It's a local protest.
Okay.
There's no issues. The guards have no issues. Mm-hmm. As you can see, there aren't even guards.
What is the resolution you're looking for, though? Are you trying to close down this asylum-seeking accommodation centre?
I can't speak for everyone now, but it's just a bit of common sense, really.
Is the resolution you're looking for?
A suitable number of people for the services suitable to the area. Like, you can't put 69 people into an area. Mm-hmm. You see it here yourself yesterday, 18 of them wanted to leave, mm-hmm. and they wouldn't let them leave. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not fair. We're not blocking them.
Well, some men did leave and walked out onto a very busy, winding road.
Yeah.
Got lifts, some of them I know, and some came back as well, we understand. You're saying you'd be willing to accept a certain number of male asylum seekers here. How many?
I couldn't be able to put a figure on it. It all depends on the services provided. And what do they want to be here? The boys here, we were talking to them yesterday evening, I brought two of them to the shop. They don't want to be here.
Uh-huh.
They wanted to go to the city centre.
The men I've spoken to say they've nowhere else to go. You can see a way whereby you would welcome some of them into your community.
If they want to be here and if the services provided is up to scratch and they have something to do. They don't want to be sitting here doing nothing, not even a television, as the guy said, do you know what I mean?
It falls next to see what Minister Roderick O'Gorman might have to say in this meeting with TDs and senators from this region. What do you want to hear out of that meeting this morning?
I'm not sure what I want to hear because...
Is it a number? Is it a number and a guarantee to tell you that only these men will stay here and no more will come?
It's not even that. There's no point keeping lads here that don't want to be here. Like, it's a very unfair system.
What would it take to open this road, Rory?
What would it take to open this road? I don't know. I'll just go back to a previous point. You're trying to put a number. Like, these are people. This is a number.
Uh-huh.
Joe, if I go to the mart, I can buy 20 kettle. Like, it's not.
I would never talk about it in those terms. I'm not trying to put a number on it. It seems clear to me your community has a number in mind of how many people you would accept here. You said you wouldn't accept 69. Will you accept 33 or 20, as some people are saying?
I can't put a number on it because it all depends on what that number comes with. Services, are they happy being here?
So is there anything Minister Roderick O'Gorman can say to your local political representatives today that'll lift this protest blockade? You don't like calling it that, but it is.
He's a smarter man.
That can end this protest.
He's a smarter man than me. Maybe he has a resolution. He must have come across this before. It's his job. He caused this problem. It's up to him to resolve the problem. We didn't cause this problem.
You'd still like him to come?
Yeah. Why not? Mm-hmm. Come for a walk in the countryside. That's all I'd say.
That's your message to the minister. Come and talk to us.
Come and talk to us here.
And Rory, finally, how long are you willing to maintain this protest? I know people are very tired this morning.
Indefinitely. People are tired, they're going home, and there's plenty more coming.
Well, that's protester Rory Killeen speaking to our reporter John Cook there at Inch. And any more developments, of course, we'll go back to John over the course of the morning. But we want to take a closer look now at the political response to all of this. And I'm joined on the line by political reporter with the Irish Times, Jack Horgan-Jones. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Claire.
So we see in your own paper today growing tensions within the coalition over the response to the migration crisis in general. And you're reporting about fairly tense interactions, it would seem, between the Housing Minister, Dara O'Brien, and the Minister for Integration, Roderick O'Gorman. So what happened?
Yeah, Claire, so it wasn't exactly skin and hair flying at the cabinet table. There wasn't a stand-up row. Nobody stormed out or anything like that. But certainly what I think we saw at cabinet yesterday was people giving voice to one of the threads that has been running through this now nearly 18-month-old story about how the state is responding to the refugee crisis. Basically, under the any other business tab, Eamon Ryan, the Green Party leader, raised the issue, and there was a briefing from both Simon Harris, the Minister for Justice, and Roderick O'Gorman, the Minister for Integration. And Roderick O'Gorman finished his with his now fairly routine plea for help from other government departments. Now, after that, Dara O'Brien, the Minister for Housing, kind of pushed back, and several sources present said that this was a kind of targeted intervention from Dara O'Brien, who asked some pointed questions of Roderick O'Gorman, particularly why there wasn't greater use of pod-style accommodation, and also why these kind of five-year leases hadn't been used for accommodation, something that was approved by government in the not too distant past. Now, Roderick O'Gorman kind of countered and said, look, you know, the pod-style accommodation, some of the regulations that need to be signed off to bring that on stream actually lie with the Department of Housing, and that the five-year leases are for the Ukrainian side of things, whereas the pressure is most acute on the international protection. That's people who are fleeing from elsewhere in the world other than the war in Ukraine. But I think what we're seeing here is the kind of corrosive effect, the cumulative effect of this crisis getting bedded in as a chronic public policy problem, and no real kind of resolution emerging, or no real kind of long or medium term plan emerging, and no one really kind of credibly being able to sketch out where we end up with this problem. We just seem to be kind of moving further down the road of buying up more and more holiday style accommodation or these kind of larger rest stop style accommodations that we're seeing in Inch and County Clare and several more in Dublin expected by the end of this week. And, you know, that is obviously leading to the kind of protest that we're seeing in Inch, and also the rather more violent and disruptive stuff that we saw on Sandwich Street in Dublin too last week.
And there are concerns too in government that we're going to see more of those protests like the ones we've seen in Inch, and you mentioned Dublin there as well, because there are three more refugee accommodation centres, Jack. They're due to be announced in Dublin. Do we know where they're going to be?
Not quite yet. So there's four overall, one outside of Dublin, which is Inch, and then there's three more in Dublin. So the as you understand it from sources who were speaking to me about this last night, one is in Dunleary. I don't know the size of that. I don't know the precise location of that. I'm not sure that there's any kind of pre-briefing going on of local TDs or reps or community organisations yet. So that leaves two more in Dublin, the location of which we're not quite sure. They will be substantial enough in scale. As I understand it, there's between 200 and 300 bed spaces coming on between these four accommodation centres. And we know that Inch isn't massive, certainly at this stage. It's not massive, but I think only 30-odd people accommodated there. Perhaps more will come in the future. But, you know, the fear is that this will provide a foothold or just a kind of a location for more of these protests to spring up. And the government, I think, finds itself, certainly talking to people at the Heart of the Response, they find themselves in something of a catch-22 situation. They either brief people in advance and give notice of these things opening and face protests that potentially could prevent anyone being moved in, or they brief people at the last minute or not at all and face protests thereafter, which may limit the amount of people they can bring in and invite a lot of criticism about their briefing activities.
Jack, thank you very much. Jack Horgan-Jones there from the Irish Times. Coming up next, we'll speak to Nicola Tallant, investigations editor with the Sunday World, about the very heavy security being put in place ahead of Katie Taylor's fight at the weekend.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.